Good, how are you? Hey, Kyle.
Good morning.
Good morning. Or good afternoon now. You must have had a busy day.
It's been a little bit crazy lately, but all good.
All good? Okay. So, what's on your mind this last day of September? Isn't that crazy?
My focus has been at trying to just focus on planning. So just anytime I talk to somebody, I just bring it up, and then I have a template email that I've got that has the two attachments. One is to link their accounts online. The other is just the questionnaire, but I'm just trying to integrate that into pretty much every conversation, because if I introduce it, people are interested. I'm finding that our introduction emails through our Salesforce system are not as effective. But if I just sell it to people as a, you know, let's get your plan built. We're trying to do it for all of our clients. You know, it takes time, but I find they're very receptive to it. And then, you know, if they don't respond right away, it's, you know, balls in their court. If another advisor approaches them and says, hey, you know, do you have a financial plan? It's like, well, he sent me the questionnaire. Me and my husband never did it. So at least we're getting it started. And then I'll put a reminder out there for a couple weeks later to follow up. But we're trying to integrate that into everything as we go. And
do you have a spreadsheet tracking it so you know who's done them and who hasn't?
To an extent, I mean, it's a folder in my email. So I keep all the emails in there. I do need to get a better folder. I should do that though, actually. It's a good idea. I mean, I have it in analytics, like we have it in our analytics hub, they call it, but yep. I probably should do a spreadsheet. That'd be a little bit better.
Yeah. I just think it, you know, you're going to the effort of doing it. It's a pipeline. And so anytime you got a pipeline, you get a pipeline tool helps you. You know, you're just going to be more efficient with it, more effective, know who to follow up on, can just sort of visually see it, know where you are, know kind of what percentage of your clients you got plans for, and then track them, and makes you feel good when you're done.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea.
Keith, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. What's on your mind this last day of September?
What's on my mind? What's on my mind is I wish I had more time in the day. You know, we're still marching along. In the behind category, but making progress.
Okay, so tell me about the progress.
Well, I mean, I think we talked about last week, we did a little deeper dive in the segmentation and how to kind of slice and dice that. We still haven't put anyone on the calendar yet as far as any particular clients that we've got in the scheduler. You know, we've that's about it.
So would you be comfortable putting like 10 people on the scheduler?
I'd be comfortable doing it. I haven't had discussions with him about what we're putting on the scheduler for. I mean, one conversation I had today with Kyle was, even though we haven't put anybody on that schedule or yet, we need something on a schedule that we're reminded to get to these clients on a regular basis. I mean, that's definitely an area where I know I'm having a problem with. So.
Yeah, I mean, the sooner you get them scheduled, the sooner they understand that they're going to get called, the sooner you get the benefits from it. And it's hard to see the benefits of Supernova till you get the feedback from the clients. You know, some are going to say, I don't need to be called that often. Some are going to be really enthusiastic about it. Some are going to want to send you more money. Others are going to push back. So what you get out of that is a really clear idea as to how they value your time and their time in relationship to you. So it's a great kind of psychological window into your relationship and the relationship to your best clients. So we always say that when they get pushback and they say, well, I don't need to be called that often, just call me quarterly, that's kind of a yellow light that says, I'm not sure what's going on here, but somebody is, you know, not seeing us as a person they want to talk to every month. So that means something. Now that could be a myriad of things, right? But one of the things it could be is a risk that they are not valuing you. And they're saying something like, you know, he's always sold me something every time I've called him, or he's called me, and therefore if he calls me every month, he's going to try and sell me something every month, which means that's not what I want. Or, you know, I'm busy and I got plenty of information about my situation and I don't need to hear anymore. The truth is that most people really need you, and they need you more, and they need to think about their situation more. They need to do more planning, and the sooner they do it, the better. And, you know, you can make up what those things are, but most of the time, your time and attention is valuable when somebody has enough money that they have a problem. So you gotta tackle this baby, and you might as well tackle it full on, trying to get 10 people signed up every month. So you call 10 people, you tell them what you're doing, you get them to commit to a time that they're going to be available, a time and a day of the month, first Tuesday of the month at 4:00. And you fill up your calendar based on what you want that calendar to be, not on what they want. Now, it's important that you give them choices, but the choices are within your calendar. And just think, for every one of those people that you sign up and they agree to a monthly call, that means they're not calling the rest of the month. They're not calling ever again, really, unless it's an emergency. So the faster you get through the group, the less chaos is in your life. So two ways to control your life and your balance and the chaos. One is to eliminate small clients, get rid of them, get them out of your practice. And the other is to get your clients to be disciplined and to be on a schedule. So the faster you do it, the more you have the time that you just said you wanted. I wish I had more time in the day. You'll have more time in the day if you do those two things. Just no question. The only way you can get time in your day is to organize your existing practice and to get rid of your smaller clients. Otherwise, there's no hope. You will never have any more time in your day. That's the reality. And if you want to grow and you like growing and you like bringing in new business, which I think is the most fun in the business, then you've got to find time to do that. And you get time to do that by organizing your practice. When people come to me, they come to me with two things. get me organized and keep me organized, help me to grow and keep me growing. And Supernova will do those things, but you know, you gotta, it's like a client, you know, you say, client says, I want to do financial planning. I want to get my life organized. And you say, okay, you got to meet with your estate planning attorney and you got to get your accounts set up so they're in trust. You gotta do some things. And they go, well, I want to be organized, but I don't want to do anything. And you say, well, that's not going to work. Okay. So, you know, I'm not telling you need to do 10, but you need to do some every week and you need to make it a part of what you're doing. So do 5, do 10. If you do 10, you'll get, you know, in 5 weeks, you'll get the majority of the clients organized and structured. 50 clients is a good number. If you want to do more, great. You want to do 100, terrific, but do 50 and you'll get your best 50 protected. It's like putting a wall around your best 50 clients. So you don't have to worry about losing them ever again. Because once you put them in this, they will not leave. Because you're giving them everything they want. Which is nice.
So Rob, on that note, say we want to do 10 a week, which I think is realistic. So the client who is very close with my dad, has been with him for 30 plus years, probably never going to leave, larger client. But then his son is really hard to get a hold of, good relationship. But say we're looking at the top 20 clients. Is it better to start with those who you have trouble staying in touch with?
No, do the easy ones. I want you to be successful doing this.
Okay.
I don't want you to, you know, the first, it's like, you know, the first stuff should work, right? I want good feedback. I want you to call people that love you and say, oh my God, you're going to spend time with me every month. That's fabulous.
Okay.
So you get psychologically, you got to see the benefit of this before you're going to get excited about it.
Get the moment.
You guys have been doing you've done all the work now. You haven't had any fun. It's like teaching tennis by hitting balls to somebody and never letting them play a game. You know, the fun is the game. Let them play a game so they have some fun. And then you can teach them, you know, how to hit a forehand and a backhand better. So you want to have the experience of getting positive feedback from your clients before you get into the hard ones. So okay. Do 10 easy ones this week. Everybody, you know, everybody will say yes.
And yeah. And I'm thinking instead of just doing, if we're going to take the time to set up the schedule, why just do the call cycle? I mean, we could just use the script. I mean, part of the value in addition to the calls is, and they train us on this in the FAA program very hard, is making it very easily definable for the client to explain what they get from you, which right. You've expressed too. And I think in addition to just the phone calls, you know, part of the phone calls is so we can maintain your plan, monitor your plan and add to it. And it's a living plan. And,
right.
You know, basically giving a client a 3-4 sentence script. What does your FA do? Boom, boom, boom.
Right. So I would just, you know, remember you've got to establish the rationale for the call. Whenever you pick up the phone, never make a phone call without establishing the rationale for the call. That's what we learned in the very beginning in Xerox selling skills years ago. So establishing the rationale for the call is why did we doing this? Because we want to deliver a consistently great experience to you, and we were having some issues doing that. Why? Because we found we had too many clients. Success brings its issues. So with that, we hired a consultant to look at our practice. And what we determined together is that we had to commit to a high level of service and that we're going to create a concierge-like practice. And that concierge practice looks like this. For every single client, we're going to offer them multi-generational planning, which is a nice term that flows off the tongue. The client doesn't quite understand what that means, but they like the sound of it. multi-plant, multi-generational planting with 12 scheduled appointments. Wow, you're going to give me 12 scheduled appointments? Yes. Four of those will be reviews of the plan. Two of them will be in person when we get back to an in-person world. And then we put together with our team a rapid response team that offers 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution to any and all problems. If we can't do that, we will let you know and there'll be follow up. How does that sound? Now, when you're prospecting, you say, how does that compare to what you're getting now? And they all say the same thing. Wow, I haven't heard from my guy in 6 months or a year. Or you're going to call me every month? Yes. You're going to do a financial plan? Yes, every client will have a financial plan. And you're offering rapid 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. I never know when my problems are solved. Well, we're going to let you know as soon as you call 911 with us, when you make a phone call to us, that's a 911 call as far as we're concerned. That's an emergency and we're going to act on it and deliver on it. And you can do that. It's not a problem. You do it already. Now, if they email or they text you, that's different, right? But so, and this isn't a call for a quote. This is, I have an emergency. I have a problem. So you get your whole team to understand. And now, that sounds really good because it is good. It's everything that the clients want. And then the wow factor, which is really hard to get today, the wow factor comes through when you have an agenda and then an executive summary, because they're just not expecting that. So not only do you have a regular call, but you have an agenda. The agenda comes from the financial plan. The financial plan is generated between you and the client. You go through and you do this, and we all know this, right? You go through and you do the low-hanging fruit, the emergency stuff, and then you leave the other stuff for some time in the future. Well, that's what goes on the agenda. All the things that you need to discuss with them, but you haven't gotten around to it. It would also mean for your bigger clients that are giving away stock every year because they made a commitment to the university. And they need to give away their Apple stock, which is highly appreciated. But you want to time it fairly well. So you've got to get it done by June, their fiscal year for the university. You put it on there, got to give away 100 grand of Apple stock. And then sometime during the first quarter, you call them and say, hey, market looks good. Time to give some Apple away. All right. So it's kind of a reminder for you and the client of things that you got to get done. So it's sort of a tickler list for both of you to be more efficient. So where does this work best? It works best with your clients that have 20 million bucks and they've got a complicated life. And you're trying to represent that you're kind of a family office group working for them. So you really can put things on there. So for the bigger clients, you want to have the things that they need to think about, old business, new business, action steps. So it's kind of like a board meeting for them. So you want to, when they say, what's this going to be like? Well, you say, it's kind of like a board meeting and you're the CEO and I'm the CFO. So I'm your chief financial officer. So I'm going to call you every month with a report on how we're doing. But more important things that we need to get done that month in order to run this company. And so I'm going to give you an agenda, which is going to have roles and responsibility of things that have to be done, things that I'm going to do with deadlines for doing them and things that you need to get done. So for example, you need to meet with your estate planning attorney to get a new trust because you wanted to do this, then that will be on there with the time frame that we mutually agree on. So you're hiring me to be your follow-up person. You know, I'm going to be your accountability coach. So think of it as a concierge practice, and you're the accountability coach for making sure that they get their plan fully implemented. Because why do the plan if we don't fully implement it? And that's the difference between our planning process, Kyle. This is really important. That's the difference between our planning process and what other people do. They will sell you a document. They will charge you money and sell you a document. And then it's up to you as a client to implement it. That's not our role. We're your chief financial officer. We're your quarterback to make sure that gets done. And that is worth a lot, as you know. Somebody that holds you accountable, that's why you hire a trainer, that's why you hire a coach. You know, in any sport, part of it is accountability. So you do better because of the coach. So this is your model, and this is what you do. And this is so you want to memorize. What, there's two parts of coaching, right? One is coaching, and it deals with the psychological issues, the accountability issues, process issues, use of the scheduler. And then there's skill training. Skill training is writing out a script and practicing the script and getting your skills honed so that you speak and use the words properly, so they have the maximum impact rather than blah, blah, right? We don't want to be blah, blah. We want to be really good. So along with the coaching and the accountability comes skill training. And you need to practice together. You can practice this together. You can role play this. And you should. There's nothing wrong with practice. What sport do we play where we don't practice? None. We don't expect to pick up a tennis racket and be great at it. You know, you hire a coach and you go and take lessons and you practice and you expect to make very gradual improvements. But people take Supernova course and they expect to memorize and know every script without even trying. And then they try it once and they mess it up and then they don't try it again, or they do their own version. And it's not Macbeth, right? If you were going to do Macbeth, you do Macbeth. You don't do your version of Macbeth.
So client says they don't want 12 calls. We say, let's try it.
Right.
And is it, you know, I may have asked a version of this question before, but, you know, what if every time you call them, they're either like, I'm busy, or they just want to talk for 2 or 3 minutes. I mean, is that okay? Because you're still giving them the touch.
You mean 12-4-2s? Yes, that's brilliant. We don't care. I've been busy when I get a call, right? I've got an agenda. I've got all this stuff, but I tell my advisor, I'm sorry, I've got about 5 minutes. And we go right to the action steps, and we go right to what we have to make a decision on, and we make the decision, and they're off the phone, and I'm off the phone.
So just skip the clutter and jump to
go right to the action steps.
What do we need to do to stay on track?
Right. So we're going to do this and do this and do this. Okay, good. Done. So there's so much less selling to do when you have built this kind of relationship. It really has to do with, you know, you trust that person to have done the work ahead of time. And they say, you should do this. And so I say, fine, you've done the homework. If I, you know, I'll challenge them if I have time. But if I don't like the work they do, I'll fire them and get somebody I like the work. So, you know, they're the professionals. That's why I hired them. So that's the relationship. So one of the things you want to do when you're doing, I don't know if I talked to you about this the last time, but one of the things you want to do is look and see, not only when you segment your clients and see what you've got, in terms of getting rid of the small accounts, and that's basically on revenues and attention, and you hate them and they're idiots and whatever, you want to get rid of them. There's also the clients that are, we call them customers, right? We want to turn the customers into clients, the clients into advocates, and the advocates into ambassadors. So that you should have a spreadsheet on. And if you're going to go to all this trouble of calling all these people, knowing what your practice looks like, figure out where they are. So it's very simple. A customer is somebody that buys things from you and hasn't done a financial plan, isn't fee-based service, doesn't listen to you really, doesn't value what you do. And they've got $5 million with you. And that may be fine, okay? But they're not a client. A client is somebody that listens to you, has done a financial plan or is agreeing to do one. They do 1242, they pay you a fee, and they value your time and attention. That's a client. That's what you want. You want 100% clients. Eventually, why have anybody that isn't a client? You know, Keith, you're too long in the business and too successful to tolerate people that aren't clients. You make up your own criteria, but determine whether or not a person is a client. We accept things that we accepted when we first got started, and we still accept things in terms of relationships that we don't need to accept anymore. You're not in a position to have to accept that. So an ambassador is somebody that has given you a referral in the past, clearly values you, and that's an advocate, and an ambassador is somebody that's done it in the last 12 months and is turned into a client, or in the calendar year, depending on whether you want to. And you can have a recognition club, your own recognition club for those ambassadors every year, which I think is a really good idea. People love recognition and would appreciate it. So you turn your clients into ambassadors, and your ambassadors are your sales force for you, and you recognize them and treat them just like you guys get recognized. You get a trip, you get awards, you know, you get recognized in front of your peers for being a club member. And that's really what you're doing. You're creating a club. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of a sudden what you're doing is getting control. I mean, in the sales process, one of the things that I'll teach you, if you want me to, is this process of maintaining control. And it's critical to the successful outcome. Every relationship that you are introduced to can get away from you sometime during the sales process. And the key in that process is to maintain control of the process. We always are talking about what's next. You always close for what's next. Well, if you're in control of what's next, then you control the timeline, you control the outcome. If they're in charge, then you might as well, I mean, just kind of forget about it, because they can blow you off and never follow up and whatever. And then you're trying to get back into the situation. And in reality, you had an opportunity to maintain control of that for the next step all the way through it. So when you're introducing, for example, financial planning, you don't want to just introduce it. Don't introduce it unless you're going to do it. Okay? So when you introduce it, know that there's a next step and you're in charge of the next step. I'm going to be sending you this. This is, you look it over and together you make a decision whether this is something you want to do. Today is, let's see, Wednesday the 30th. I'm going to send it to you. You look it over. I'm going to follow up in a week, and we're going to decide whether this is something you want to do. So you don't want to be sending things out as if you're prospecting. These are relationships. So if you tell them to do something, you want to make sure they know that that's something that you really want them to do. Otherwise, they can't tell the difference between what you want and what you don't care about. And don't bother doing things that you don't care about the outcome. Go do things you do care about the outcome. Okay, so send out less and follow up more so that you maintain control and control the client experience. Client experience should all be one where they know it's important to you. We used to say, do less better. Okay. So that's a lot to do this week. Memorize that script. The words are very powerful. They're very succinct. It gives you a nice value proposition. It tells them that you have thought it through. It's fairly simple. Establish the rationale for the call, financial planning, 1242, and rapid response. Those are the three things you got to remember. Establish the rationale for the call, financial planning, 1242, and rapid response. If you don't have those three things in there, you're shortchanging yourself. Then you're also allowing the client to control the situation in terms of calling in. You don't want that to happen. You want them to take notes. That's why you send the folder. You say, I'm going to be sending you a folder, and in the folder will be several sections. We'll go through those in detail, but the most important is to understand that I'll be sending you an agenda and then a place for you to take notes. Now, this is important. When you see the agenda, what I'd like you to do is, if you'd like to add something to the agenda, please send me an email and I'll add it to the agenda. Now that does a couple things. It makes sure the client knows it's important and also empowers the client, which is what you want to do. Clients want to be heard and they want to be empowered. They feel like they're in control. Control means peace of mind. Control is analogous to happiness. So giving them control of the situation makes them feel good. Now, you never give them actual control, but you make them feel as though they're in control. So by being able to send you an agenda, an agenda item, you know that's really important, and you probably cover that first. And if they don't send you something, you always start it out the same way. You know, we've set up an agenda for today's call, but before we go into that, what's on your mind? Just like I do. What's on your mind? Tell me. There might be something really important. I just had a grandbaby. I'm getting a divorce. Whatever. And that becomes the conversation maybe for that whole call. Because truly, they are in control. And you want to make them feel in control. But by focusing on that, you maintain control. All right, and then they feel great about you because they get to tell their story. So back to your question, Kyle, how long does the call go? The call can't go more than 50 minutes. If you need more than 50 minutes, then you set up another appointment because you've got another call right behind it, always. But that gives you time in between to write your executive summary. Take a break, drink some water, walk around, do some jumping jacks, and get ready for the next call. But by giving them the power of keeping notes, they, you know, take notes during the month. Write things down, questions you have, issues, where you'd normally call me and say, what do you think the election's gonna, what do you think of the election last night? What do you think of this? Write that down in our monthly call. We'll discuss it. Okay, so you don't get the unnecessary interruptions and ridiculous phone calls that you can't control, right? So you become much more efficient, and they actually like it better. Because then they never get interrupted, right? Because if you're on one of these calls, you don't get interrupted. You don't interrupt, you know. So they know they've got 50 minutes a month, of their time. Now, it may take 5 minutes, right? It may take 15 minutes. And depending on the personality, you know, some type A personalities, they want to get on there, but they will love this because it's efficient, you see? And they know they should be giving their investment world some attention, but they feel guilty if they don't. So now they're going to, no matter how busy they are, they're going to love this because they know that once a month, they're going to take a look at this stuff and with you, and you've been thinking about them all month. So you're going to have good value to bring to them. Make sense?
Yeah.
It's very different. It's very different than just calling them when you feel like it. Getting them out of surgery, getting them off the golf course, they don't know if it's an emergency or just a random call or what it is. You're prepared, they're not prepared, they can't make a decision, they have no idea why you're calling. Okay? Now you've got a relationship, they're a friend, so they accept that. But when you treat them like a business partner, they're going to like it a lot more. And then there's a lot of other things we can do in terms of marketing through this that will make it very good for you in terms of leveraging your time. And I'll show you those things, all of those things, but it's all built on this establishing this relationship. The way you need it established, not the way that you did it when you started in the business, which is fine. You know, this is a new time. And our businesses change, and this is the new business model. Questions?
I guess we should go ahead and, so if we're going to commit to the 10 clients, we should go ahead and do the folders as well.
Right.
In the sense that we're still not in the office,
you can build the folders. People say, well, the folders are in the office, I can't do it. Forget that. You can build a folder. I build my own folders. It's not that hard. And then I have them right here, right? Boom. They're in my house. They've always been in my house.
I'm at the client folder, but.
Yeah, send it to them. FedEx it to them.
Okay.
Big deal. You know, with a nice letter or note saying, hey, this is important. We'll talk about this.
And all those templates are in chapter 14.
Correct.
Gotcha.
And then we'll go through each one of them because each one is not only are they important for the client and make the client feel good, but there's a leverage in each one of them. There's a marketing idea associated with each one of those sections of that folder that we give them. So build them just as we describe them, and I'll go through each section and teach you guys why you want that section in there. The fun thing about taking Supernova now is that it is so much better, so advanced compared to where it used to be, that there's a million ideas that come out of this. But you'll get good feedback. So you do want to try when they say, you know, I only want quarterly, it's okay. You just kind of, you can use different analogies, but the basic premise is, look, try it, you'll like it. If you don't like it after 6 months, we can always go back to quarterly. But the idea is that, you know, people say, well, the clients, you know, ask the clients what they want. Well, clients don't know what they want until they get it. The client, you know, we were talking about Starbucks. Everybody in this country wanted a cup of coffee, black or with cream and sugar. That was it. Howard Schultz goes to Europe. He discovers cappuccinos and lattes and all the rest of them, goes, what the hell? You know, these are good. Let's try something different. Brings it back and nobody wants them. So he's got to teach them what it is that they're doing in Europe and the rest of the world and why it makes sense for you to go and spend $4.50 to get a cup of coffee. And guess what? He built a multi-billion-dollar business out of it. So, you know, Starbucks is not just coffee. Disney World's not just a theme park. Mercedes is just not a car company. They have a better model and people are willing to pay for it. They're willing to pay for you if you build a better model and teach them the value of it. But you've got to have a better service model. You've got to have a better contact model. You've got to have a better planning model. Every part of your process has to be better than what's out there. So what's better about planning? The full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments. We're going to follow up on the plan and make sure and help you implement it. Dot the I's and cross the T's. That's what's different about it. What's different about our contact system? It's scheduled. There are appointments. They're not random phone calls. There's an agenda. There's an executive summary. What's different about our rapid response system? It's we're committing to a timeline, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. No one will commit to that except for us. And if we can't do it in that timeline, we're going to let you know and we're going to follow up and make sure you know it's fixed. So each one is designed to make you, to differentiate you in the market, which with a crowded market with people that all look and sound the same, this is different. And it's good because no one else is willing to do it. It's hard work. It takes effort. But like Starbucks, it's worth it in the end because you create something of real value. And that allows you to be better, you know. So it allows you to do whatever you want to do with it from then on. You can be champion of the world. You can, you know, win the U.S. Open. You can do whatever you want from here. But you've got to build a better model in order to do that. You've got to be willing to put in the work if you're going to be a world champion. And this is the work. And then there's a skill set along with it, the script that you got to memorize. So there's a structure and then there's a skill set. So do both. Don't wing it. It won't work. You will be disappointed and so will the clients. So be a professional and memorize it. So you can listen to this video. You can go to my chapters in my book, Supernova Multiplier, and each one has a script in it that talks about different parts of what I teach. But you've got the script verbatim today, which I think actually was done pretty well. So you can listen to it 10 times and, thank you. And you know, you can just listen to it as many times as you can. And you guys have each other, which just makes it a good thing to do practicing. So don't be embarrassed because you hit the first 10 balls in the net. It's okay. You know, this is a new script. So expect it not to go smoothly. Just practice, 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 try it out on a client, practice, practice, try it out on a client. Practice, practice, try it out on a client. You'll get great results. I'm working with one guy that I've been coaching for a couple of years now. He said, I want to go back and develop scripts for everything. He said, I used to work with Leo Pusateri and all we did was work on scripts. And then I remember, you know, when I was at Merrill Lynch, Ron Rubenstein's cold calling clinic on objections. I said, yes, I used to teach that when I was a manager, you know, so yeah. You know, so he hired me to just work every week on scripts. It's all we're going to do is skill training. So he picked the topics and we're going to develop a script and we're going to practice it. And it's fun because he kind of gets it, you know, and he's a great producer. He just wants to be better. And of course I enjoy that too.
So right. Rob, a question on these. Like client folder contents. This is So this would go to the client. The first page is similar to the first page of like the financial planning with the addition of the tax return and the.
Well, the very first page should be a ready reference about you, your team and phone numbers and where you live and how to, you know, how to get to your office and things like that. So that's the very first page on the left-hand side. Then is their information about them. Sometimes people will use the questionnaire that they do on a financial plan. And then when you want to update it, you got the questionnaire right there, and he sees what needs to be updated. He can update it and send it to you quickly, and then you're, you know, you can use that.
So that's kind of why that page is in both. It's the client fills it out, and then we've got it in our system.
And then he's got it, right? Because he can, I've got a, you know, I just adopted a new daughter from Korea or something.
My salary doubled or whatever.
Correct, whatever. Okay. The last page is the page for notes, and next to that is the agenda. So that takes care of the first two pages. The inside pages are pages on introductions given and received, the enthusiastically endorsed list. And the introductions given and received is, you know, I got 6 introductions from you over the years. I can't remember, you know, who you gave me, and I don't thank you for that over the years. So this is a way of keeping track of all the people that they gave you over the years, when they did it, and I'll, and then we're going to thank them for doing it. Now, you can be very efficient and do it on the anniversary when that referral opened the account and thank both parties. Or you can just randomly pick up the phone and thank them and say, hey, it's been a couple of years. I want to thank you for this. So it could be, you know, it's something that will get you more introductions. Thanking them for doing it will generate more introductions because people like to be reminded that they are helping you and that they have done something nice for you, and then they'll want to do it again. So people say, how can I get more introductions? Well, just by doing that, every time you do it, you set up an opportunity to get more introductions. The enthusiastically endorsed list. One of my clients this morning said there's a new hospital coming into town, and there's going to be, I said, so it's all new people. Yes, all new doctors, new professors, medicine, right? Head of the hospital, it's a teaching hospital. It's all coming to town. I said, what a fabulous opportunity for an enthusiastically endorsed list, right? Because in that you have the best of the best in your community of all the people that they're going to need. They're going to need dentists and teachers and realtors and all the rest of this. Now, you don't want to offer that free. You want to do that through a series of introductions. But it's a nice welcome package for all those people, extremely high net worth, and you're really creating some value among people that you know and trust. So it's a great way of creating value. So that's where that enthusiastically endorsed list. You want to keep a list of all of his advisors, and you want to know whether they're enthusiastically endorsed or not, or they're just random. You know, I've got a CPA, but he's okay. Or I've got a CPA and I need to change because I've outgrown him, or I've got a CPA and I love him, I enthusiastically endorse him. That's somebody you need to meet. Okay, especially if you get 4 or 5 people endorsing that CPA.
So to clarify, the introductions given and received, the client will have that in their folder as well.
Correct.
Okay.
That spurs them on to remember that you're still accepting business.
And they write them down during the month if they think of it so they don't forget it. And, oh, yeah, I thought of somebody. Okay.
Yeah, it's a training. You want to be conducting training classes. Because these guys, think about every client as a salesperson for you. And that you got to train them to be. So they got to learn this pitch. They got to learn what you do for them. So that you should have them memorizing the same script that you're memorizing. So that when they introduce you, they don't just say he's, you know, oh, Kyle and Keith, they're terrific. They're nice guys. You're going to love them, right? That's what they always say. you want to say, wow, you want them to say, you won't believe what they do. This is what they do for me. Multi-generational planning, follow-up 1242, rapid response to problems. The client will go, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, did they do that for everybody? Yes, for everybody. Amazing. Okay. Then when they meet you, they go, wow, I've been looking forward to meeting you because my buddy said you do these things. Yep, we do that. So you establish your brand. Everybody's looking for a value proposition. Well, you got one. There it is. And it isn't one about you. It's about them. It's about what you're going to do for them, which is most important.
Okay. And then I guess the other question on the client, the client's folder, they will be holding, like, the client performance review. Is that the initial? And then, like, the agendas, they're sticking those in the folder as they go? Or
yeah,
just
but they throw
them
away. You know, only keep, you know, if you're going to do a review, which you don't need to do all the time, your agenda may not even include that. That may be just a, by the way, this is how we did last month, right? You don't need to worry about doing a performance review every month. You can do that quarterly, or you can do it, you know, a couple times a year formally. It depends on the client. They care about that. But what you're doing is you're building a relationship with client about the things that are important to them, the things that they need to create value on it. Then, therefore, you get away from being a money manager or a broker or whatever they've got you in this little box for. And now you're truly their wealth advisor. You're their coach and consultant and advisor. And that's what you want to be. Kind of a life coach versus being a financial, you know, person. Okay. So you're helping them with everything to make better choices in their life. Because who better to help them make better choices, and who else do they have to make better choices? Maybe their priest or their minister, but there's nobody else that cares about them. You know, their CPA does the work, their attorney creates documents. They're all peace workers. They're not consultants and coaches to the clients. You're the only one that really is.
Okay.
And you should get paid commensurate for that responsibility. And that's what the difference is. You're not getting your price. You won't get price compression when you're adding this kind of value, because you're not selling a transaction or money management. You're selling holistic financial planning based on their life and their goals and where they're going in the future.
Okay.
Okay. So it insulates you from price compression, which is important. Okay. We used the maximum time today, but that's good. You had good questions. Thank you. It makes it fun for me. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, y'all.
Good luck.